mothers. A good mother is most often typified by the untold sacrifices that she makes on a consistent basis, bypassing her own choices so that others will be benefited. There's a humility that comes with that, in which she's not busy parading the sacrifices that she has made. When it comes to looking at mothers, we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 31 today. And within Proverbs chapter 31, you have the description of a woman that sounds like she could be on the cover of a magazine. Lots of magazines. Women's Day, Ladies Home Journal, Better Homes and Gardens, Time Magazine, Fast Company, Bon Appetit, and even Fitness World. Now, it's just quite a woman, but hopefully we'll all have some relate points as we turn our attention to Proverbs chapter 31. Please join me in your Bibles. If you don't have one of your own, there should be one there in the pew. And Proverbs is about right in the middle of the Bible, right after Psalms. So Proverbs chapter 31, beginning at verse 10, in which we can first see that it is worth the search. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Now, it seems like we're making a bit of a switch here. We're talking about mothers and Mother's Day, and suddenly we're talking about a good wife. But there's really a connection here. For a wonderful mother is going to be the result of being an amazing wife. We can see here that, you know, Scripture has often telling us that mothers are to be honored, and that within our culture, we certainly appreciate having the holiday that we can celebrate. But here we can see that as Solomon is speaking specifically of a wife of noble character, he's saying that she is rare. So rare, in fact, she is more valuable than any jewels. A quick check will let you know that per carat, the ruby is the most expensive of all jewels. And so for that being the case, then if it is for the ruby, then it is for the diamond, the sapphire, the emerald as well. Now, within this, then, we can see that as this is being talked about, this wife of noble character who has very much to offer, she can be completely trusted, and that she is diligent in that her family will lack nothing. She has nothing but the desire to be an asset for her husband, and bringing out nothing but good. And she will be an excellent mother for his children. The idea here is that this woman is very hard to find, but it is worth the search, for the benefit is more than anyone can add up in their whole life. Now, in this next phrase, we see how wonderful and amazing she is. And I forgot my watch today, and so to kind of keep me on track, rather than reading all of these verses, I'm just going to be summarizing them for you. Amen. So we can see here that as we're looking at how wonderful and amazing this woman is in verses 13 through 27, in which her proficiency is described. In verses 13, 19, and 24, it talks about her being a seamstress. Now, she certainly could have had others do this for her, but she did it herself. She's an amazing seamstress. In verses 14 and 15, she's quite the efficient shopper. And then whatever she brings home, she's able to prepare food, not only for her family, but for everyone in the household. You're getting the idea here that she probably is fairly well-to-do. In verses 16, 18, 21, 24, and 27, we can see that she's able to invest wisely. She's good at business. She's going to stay up late in her planning and preparation. Despite being well off, she works hard. And what a testament to her. She certainly could just simply be the one to sit back in her chair and tell others what they need to do. But she does not. She goes ahead and does it herself. Why? Because it just speaks of her noble character. In verse 22 and 25, we can see that this is a woman of style. She's got confidence in herself and she's her own person. She's going to be defined by those things that are important to her, not necessarily paying attention to what culture is trying to say about her. You get the idea here that she is going to be carrying herself not only confidently, but well-groomed and adorned. Not only with knowing how to carry herself before other people, but in such a way that she is exuding the very love and grace of God. This woman is amazing. So within this whole category here, we can see in 26 that Jane was alluding to, she's smart. And she's going to be steering others towards wise behavior. It was so much fun, wasn't it, having Chris up here during children's moment, sitting there by Jane? My mom's not here. You know, so I don't have to admit there were times I didn't abide by my mother's wise advice. But it wouldn't mean anything to the rest of you. But Chris has shared with me some of the same unwise decisions that hopefully we can all relate to. Thank you for that indulgence, Chris. There is great benefit to making good decisions. There is great loss in living foolishly. Now, this has been pretty quick. I mean, as you look down through this list of the things that she is able to do and the things that she does and that she's always setting about her work vigorously. You know, here's this lady they're talking about. Probably somewhat of a head turner that at the same time has strong arms and is able to work hard. Most would be able to do some of these things well. It seems like a really tall order to do all of them well. So what Solomon has put before us, this wife of noble character, is truly something wonderful and amazing. He wraps this up in verses 28 through 31. And this is where I want us to put our attention this morning. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. I think we can take a look here and see that Solomon is describing the wife of noble character from verse 10 all the way down through verse 31. But let us not forget, turn the page of your Bible for a second, and what do you see? There is no chapter 32 of Proverbs. You're into the book of Ecclesiastes. And no, I'm not going to tell you all about the book of Ecclesiastes. That's for another day. This is the end of the book. This is the end of the book in which Solomon has been pleading with his own son, as well as pleading with every other son who may read this book. That wisdom is like a beautiful lady that you want in your life, and that you need to pursue her because she will be more valuable to you than any jewels. So as Solomon is talking about this wife of noble character, he's also using it as the conclusion to his whole book. It is within this that Solomon has pleaded with his son to know wisdom. He starts the book with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he ends the book with the fear of the Lord is wisdom and understanding. So it makes sense that Solomon is accomplishing two things with one little story in which he's talking about this wife of noble character. As we look a little bit at what she is like here, we see that we've already described how amazing and wonderful she is in verses 13 through 27. And of course, young men, this is your homework, okay? Know what she's like, because Solomon's told you it's God's will for your life you find somebody like this. Okay, so that's what you want to do. Okay, so her children arise and call her blessed. There is not a human being that does not like their family to say nice things about them. That's not real hard to figure out. Regardless of how humble a mother may be, the mother will appreciate the child, regardless of if they're 4 or 84, to see, to bear witness to the sacrifices that mom made on my behalf. There's not a mother alive that would not appreciate that humble understanding. And yet within this, we know that first and foremost, she fears the Lord. Now, as we're looking at these children that are arising and calling her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Notice verse 29 again. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Wouldn't that be something for you, mother, to go ahead and have your husband and your children lined up, hooked up to the lie detectors? And all of the great mothers of the world are put before them. And they're saying, wow, look at how wonderful this mother was. And look how wonderful that mother is. And they get done with their presentation of the 10 greatest mothers in the world. And the husband and the children all take their lie detector test and they pass, in which they are convinced you surpass them all. Wow. And that's kind of an amazing picture in and of itself, isn't it? The best of the best. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. We've already discovered that this woman was attractive. We've already discovered that this woman was physically fit. We've already discovered this woman works hard, has a great business mind. And all of that means nothing if she does not fear the Lord. The starting point is the fear of the Lord. If you start anywhere else, it ends badly. Solomon has spent 31 chapters delivering this message. He uses the very wonderful picture of this wife of noble character to be able to describe to us again how important the fear of the Lord is. If we start with the fear of the Lord, in other words, it's like, oh wow, creation is wonderful, but it's only to give our attention to the Creator. He's the one who has brought us up in this world that we may have a relationship with Him. The lack of the fear of the Lord goes, meh, what relationship? I don't care. And we will never realize enjoyment. We will never realize blessing in our life if we don't have the right starting point. And that is the fear of the Lord, as Solomon uses that term to describe it. To live within the fear of the Lord is to have your life built up. It is to have the blessing of God. To live without the fear of the Lord is to see the destruction that comes from not giving God his due. And its result is failure and doom. Not a picture that anyone would want to embrace. And so we can see that the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised because she is going to have influence on many others. Give her the reward she has earned. Now we can see within this then, as we are describing this woman of noble character, I know we've all had different experiences. And I know there are some of you who say, yes, that's my mom. And there's others that are probably saying, no, that doesn't describe my mom. Within it, I hope we all have relate points, but within it, one of the things about God that helps us get through this life despite imperfect people is that he says it's for your benefit. It's for your good. Regardless of the kind of mother that you have, you are to honor her. You see that listed in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. You also see it reflected in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3. Each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Again, over in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. Honor your father and mother as the Lord God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We know that Jesus repeated this in the New Testament without the promise of the land, because that was no longer going to be appropriate to the church. But we know that in that we are to honor our mother. each and every one of us. Now, obviously, it's going to be easier when our mothers are very optimistic, when they have a positive outlook and are encouraging us and building us up. It's easier for us to honor our mother when she embraces the role of the wife of noble character. Irregardless, we have a command to honor our father and mother. And if we will, then it will go well with us. And regardless of how you feel about your mother or father, if I was to ask, according to God, would you like it to go well with you? I think we could pretty much have a unanimous vote here this morning. So for it to go well with you, honor your mother and father. Today, particularly, focus on your mother. Okay, so within this, you know, wouldn't we all enjoy having a family that would brag on us? Within that, may we do our best today to honor our mothers on Mother's Day. Three things quickly that I want to share with you that perhaps will help you make Proverbs 31 a little bit more a part of your life. And of course, I'm a guy. Well, hey, just follow through here real quick. Okay, number one, the goal of every godly woman. All right, now this looks like a real intimidating list. You know, if it said how to be a godly husband and they had a list like this, oh man, that's horrible. But within this, every godly woman should find motivation to be their best for the Lord. Nothing short of that. You know, you don't have to be somebody else. You simply have to be your best for the Lord. And it's within that, then, that we should be able to find that there should be a devotion of every godly woman to Christ, to His Word, to their relationship with Him, because it is going to be such an influence to others. And that within that, then, that there would be thanksgiving and praise both to you and to God. Number two, every man or young man looks for a wife like this. Their value is beyond comprehension. What it means to you and your family, the value is not going to ever be counted. But you can know this, it's worth it. For young men, you want to find some wife that you think is going to be everything you want and she does not fear the Lord, is going to bring you tremendous heartache, disappointment, failure, and doom. That's reality. To find a woman who fears the Lord is going to bring out everything good. God's blessing will be upon you and upon your house. Number three, a call for all to improve. You see, guys, here, you don't get off the hook. Okay, number one, it's describing this wife of noble character. And, you know, it's like, okay, guys, have you bought into it? You know, would you like a wife of noble character? If you are, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, don't be afraid. It's no offense to the one sitting next to you. You want a wife of noble character. Okay, you got to ask yourself. You got to really stop and ask yourself, what kind of person is this wife of noble character going to be looking for? Is she going to be looking for you? I think we can come to a rather rapid conclusion. She's going to be looking for someone who shares the same priorities of life that you love the Lord, that you want to grow in that relationship with the Lord. You want to be in His Word. You're devoted to seeking and serving Christ in your life. This is going to be a pattern. If you're going to keep up with her, you better be in some kind of shape. You better be working hard. Because that's what she does. So if you want a wife of noble character, and even though you guys were the most timid, sheepish group I've seen in a while, I mean, it's like, who wants a wife of noble character? You know, a few of you did this, you know, and there was, is he talking to me? I was. That's what we want. We want the wife of noble character, but we've got to just stop and realize if we're going to have a wife of noble character, isn't it only fitting that we'd be a match? Why in the world would God waste a wife of noble character on a husband who is not? Well, I'm not saying exceptions don't exist, but I'm saying it does defy logic. The call for us here in Proverbs 31 today is this is a call for all of us. Women in Proverbs chapter 31, there is a call for a woman to be full of God, God's wisdom, God's character. That is active, busy, strong, confident in everything they do. And if that's the case, if the women are going to be aspiring to this, goodness gracious, men, we'd better be a match. It is the call to us to be men of noble character. May we all aspire to be people of noble character. May you all have a blessed Mother's Day. Father, thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and you implore us through your word, through your spirit, to follow you in obedience, not because you like to see your children act well, because you want your children to experience your love and grace. And it is life in motion through which that happens. Lord, may we not be passive in our approach to life, passive in our relationship with you. May we be active. May we be engaged. May we be motivated to seek to be a benefit to all others, to be a person of noble character. In Christ's name, amen. There's one more thing I want to tell you. Remember the letter R. For those of you that are already of noble character, how about you just try to be a little bit nobler? For those of you who feel like this standard of noble character is so high, I can never reach it, then just remember the R. Don't worry about being a person of noble character. Just be a person of nobler character, so that we all can take an R home with us and know that in His strength, we can be better people. Let us stand. It's certainly been wonderful to share worship with you today. If there's anyone here that has a spiritual need that they would like to make us aware of, just please come on down to the front. If you're here and you have never been introduced to Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, would consider it a real privilege to share with you from the Word of God how you can know that He has come to die and live again that you may have eternal life with him. Let us pray. Father, what an awesome God you are. In our own strength, in our own abilities, we may be able to do some of the things sort of well on that list we looked at today. But Lord, in your strength, give us the faith we can do them all. Lord, help us to trust you and help us to seek to live nobler lives. In Christ's name, amen.